The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Good morning, Rolene. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. And you, Kath, and off the bat, I know it's the wrong sport analogy. We do have breaking news. We have breaking news that the terrorist responsible for the shooting of Rabbi Raziel Shevach last month, a father of six, has been not just caught, but he was killed in a pre-dawn raid in the West Bank this morning.
So
and this is according to Shin Bet. This is breaking news. This has literally happened or been released to the press literally minutes ago.
Well, thanks for that update. It was very surprising to me that he is he was a resident of Jaffa.
The resident of Jaffa was responsible for yesterday's terror attack that killed Rabbi Itamar Ben-Gal. He has been caught. We don't know more details. I would assume that he is under interrogation by our police and security services. He is a citizen of Jaffa. He holds Israeli citizenship. He is 19-year-old Abed Al-Karim Asi. He's from Jaffa. He was responsible for yesterday's stabbing attack of Itamar Ben-Gal, Rabbi Itamar Ben-Gal, a father of four, 29 years old, who was stabbed at the Ariel Junction yesterday. But the terrorist that was shot and killed this morning is the terrorist responsible for killing Rabbi Raziel Shevach last month.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that, putting it into blonde for me. All right. So that's I guess that's good news. Can we just talk about this other terrorist who is an Israeli Arab? Are Israeli Arabs turning on the state?
Well,
I understand it's one incident, but it's not isolated.
It's not isolated. You know, we have had incidents where we have caught Israeli Arabs trying to join Daesh or the Islamic State, and we have had situations where Israeli Arabs have carried out terror attacks. We had the terror attack, I think it was last year on the 1st of January in Tel Aviv, the terrorist responsible for the shooting there. It could have been 2016. I might be getting my years mixed up. And they came from Al-Fahm, which is a Arab village in the north, which is known to be a hotbed of incitement. But there has been a lot of discussion, are Arab Israeli citizens sometimes becoming a fifth column within the country? And it is a concern. Having said this, there are many Arab Israelis who are very, very proud to be Israeli. They serve their country. More and more Arab Israelis are actually joining the army. In fact, last year we had a record number of intake into the new conscripts for the army. So, we have from both sides. We have elements from both sides, and it's a big worry. It's a big worry, especially since they are able to get around easily because they hold Israeli citizenship, they hold Israeli identity cards, and very often they are not suspected.
Well, you know what? And so they shouldn't be, because they are Israeli citizens. You know,
they are Israeli citizens, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Can we please talk about Naftali Bennett?
Well, as I saw this headline, I thought to myself, if you're going to be sending anyone to Poland, let it be Naftali Bennett.
Yeah, and then Poland says, you want to tell what? You want to tell the truth? We are cancelling your visit.
Well, this is the big worry. Poland has now cancelled a scheduled visit by Naftali Bennett. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the right one that they want to take on, because Naftali Bennett says that the blood of Polish Jews cries from the ground and no law is going to silence it. The government of Poland have cancelled my visit because I mentioned the crimes of its people. He says, I am honoured. I'm honoured that they cancelled my visit. Anyone who knows Naftali Bennett or follows him knows that Naftali Bennett is not one to pull punches, and he's not one to use subtleties. And I think given the latest brouhaha between Israel and Poland, he probably was the right one to send to the country. Also, tensions are heating up between Israel and Poland, because the Polish government promised us at least a discussion before they pass this law, at least a debate, a discussion to understand why this law would be so hurtful. And they went and they voted on it and passed this legislation without fulfilling their promise. And it's become an opportunity for anti-Jewish rhetoric, in fact, included amongst senior Polish politicians. Some accusations are that American Jews are conspiring to squeeze billions of dollars out of Poland in Holocaust reparations. Some have said it's the Zionists. I mean, you know, Kathy, I would be worried if we Zionists weren't blamed for something here. A lot of them are saying that this is a big test for Polish Jews, who are now very much caught in the middle. And many of the Polish Jewish organizations are linked to major American Jewish organizations. They get their funding from major Jewish organizations in America. So it's a very, 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 very difficult situation. And I think if you're going to be sending anyone to Poland, whether or not it has been cancelled, you send your bulldog, you send Naftali Bennett.
And then Poland says, no, we don't want him. Niet. 100%. Raylene, are you following the story about Jason Greenblatt's tweet?
I'm not following the story about Jason Greenblatt's tweet. What has Jason Greenblatt been tweeting?
So Jason Greenblatt, being the Trump envoy, right, he called on Hamas to, and I quote, release Oron Shaul, right, whose family has never accepted the army's decision to pronounce Oron Shaul dead. So now this has become a big story. It's running on all the Israel news sites. Trump, and this is the headline, Trump envoy implies IDF soldier declared killed in action is still alive.
Well, so, you know what, I hope that this is not giving false semantics. Hope to the family.
I think it's semantics, and I think that the press should not be making such a huge thing of it. Anyhow, what else is news in Israel?
What else is news in Israel is that our defense minister says there is no humanitarian crisis in Gaza, much to the absolute shock of the Israeli media and to the army. I mean, yesterday we heard from our Ramatkala chief of staff, Gadi Eisenkot, who says that unless we do something drastic, there is going to be grave humanitarian disaster on our doorstep in Gaza. And here we have the defense minister saying there is no humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Now, as you can
imagine,
where
does he get his news? Where does he get his news? I'm asking for a friend.
I know that same friend would like to know that exactly, because and as you can imagine, following the Israeli media last night, I was watching the debates, astoundment from the Israeli media. Like, you know, of course there is a humanitarian disaster in the Gaza Strip.
Anybody? 100%.
Anybody?
No, I mean, anyone who reads the news will know that there is a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. You know, you go and you follow the news threads from COGAT, which is the organization that allows all the, you know, they monitor all the supplies going into Gaza. There is a huge humanitarian crisis there. Where does he get this information that there isn't?
Well, it is very, very worrying that we're hearing this kind of language coming from our defense minister. I mean, our defense chief of staff has a complete differing opinion on this. And you are right. You know, Israel sends in trucks with tons and tons of humanitarian aid in every day into Gaza. The big question is what happens to that aid once it passes through to the custodianship of Hamas. Does it get distributed? No. The problem with the cement that we send in, that gets used to build tunnels underground. Yeah. What happens to the medicines that are sent in? Do they actually make their way to the hospitals? You know, there's a lot of issues surrounding what happens to the humanitarian aid once it gets into the Gaza Strip. And it's very, very worrying what eventually does happen.
Yeah. Raylene, just very, very quickly, is Avigdor Lieberman, the Israeli minister who tweets and puts things on Facebook and causes huge uproar. Isn't he the one who went onto his Facebook page and he said that Jews are no longer welcome in South Africa?
He didn't say Jews are no longer welcome in South Africa. He said there will be pogroms in South Africa. This was a couple of years ago, which of course caused great concern with South Africans who were very, very upset at the use of the word pogrom. And he's predicting that kind of hurt. He was the foreign minister at the time of saying that. It was tremendously upsetting at the time.
So they made him a minister of defense. Great job.
So they made it, well, as you know, when you form coalitions in the Israeli government, these are very, very difficult, and sometimes you have to give these portfolios away to various leaders of various parties so that a coalition can be formed.
Yes, absolutely, and you know, how somebody uses their mouth is of no concern whatsoever. Diplomacy doesn't even come into it. Rolien Marks, that's where we leave it today. Thank you so much. We'll catch up with you this afternoon on Your Afternoon with Howard Feldman, and we'll speak to you tomorrow morning on The Morning Mayhem. Thank you so much.
Have a lovely day, everybody.
Thank you so much. God bless you too. Bye-bye.